And take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open up to Genesis chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. Genesis and chapter number 1 in the Word of God. And I know as I looked around, even walking in tonight, several visitors who are here with us this morning is back again this evening. And we thank you so much for being here with us tonight. Here on Sunday nights, we've been going through a series entitled Family Matters. Family Matters. We've been looking at the home, and what we came through some great sermons on the home as far as the marriage relationship is concerned. Then we started to look at ways that Satan is attacking our families. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at really digging into the next generation that is coming up behind us. And I've kind of entitled it that way because oftentimes what we will do if we're not careful, we take a message that we hear and, well, we've already raised kids or we don't have kids, and so this is not applicable to us, but that's not the case at all. All of us are influencing the next generation that's coming up, whether you are that generation, a teenager or a young child in here tonight, and or you have grandkids or great-grandkids or raising kids or not yet married. We all are influencing someone and have influence on someone. So I want us to tune in this evening. I'm looking at the time. I want you just I printed out some things and I had to run back and grab those because I was missing a little bit of it, but I was able to get it all tonight. And I do want to start out by saying this. Tonight's message is going to be a little bit different. It's probably going to be quite a bit of teaching this evening. In fact, I told my wife, I've got to stick to the pulpit more tonight just to try to get through this. I cannot divide this sermon up. It's really a one shot. Here we go. And just, so I'm going to get it all out tonight. And I do want you as parents, as grandparents, to understand this. The subject that we're dealing with tonight, I do comprehend that we have young kids in here this evening. And so I'm going to be very careful in the way that I explain some things, that I might change some terminology. But you will know and comprehend exactly what I'm talking about. But I believe that this message is vitally important to the next generation that's coming up. I will say this, it's not an easy message to preach because it's not popular. But as God has called me to pastor here at Cross Point Baptist Church, I take wholeheartedly the duty and the responsibility to feed the flock very, very seriously. And so I ask tonight that you just pray that as we run through this, that we'd have an open heart and an open mind. But more than that, this evening, this is not, I'm saying, this is not what Thomas Shepherd thinks. This is not, well, I think this is the way we ought to live our lives. Everything that we're going to talk about this evening is backed by the Word of God. If you believe that the Word of God is our final authority, say amen tonight. And it ought to be. Culture is not our final authority. The society is not our final authority. Religion is not our final authority. The standards that man has come up with is not our final authority. You know why? Listen now. All of those things change. But aren't you thankful tonight that we have a Word of God that never changes? And so therefore this evening we're going to base this on the Word of God. There is no other foundation that we ought to have. And so tonight I want you to stand with me as we read Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to be looking at verse number 26. Verse number 26 here of chapter number 1 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Would you look with me at verse number 26? The Bible says this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Before we read verse number 28, comprehend tonight, this is a true, real, historical account of how the human race came into existence. We do not believe evolution. The world did not come into its form over billions of years and a big bang. And then we had some amoebas that came up on this earth. And then after so many millions and billions of years, here we are. This is how humans came about. If you believe that, say amen. And I'm thankful for that. Verse number 28. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This evening, I want to preach a message simply entitled, Back to the Basics. Back to the Basics. This evening, the subject that we're going to deal with in great depth is the subject of gender identity. Gender identity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I need you tonight. Lord, as families, we need to hear from you. How do you want us to live our lives? How do you want us to bring up the next generation? Will they have a love for you? Will they have a love for each other? Will they stand upon the Word of God? Lord, we're influencing that next generation. And God, I ask that we would give them more Bible than they've ever had before. Let it be their final authority, their foundation. Father, I ask, Lord, that with an open mind, an open heart, and a foundation in the Word, we'd walk out of these doors encouraged that you are still on the throne. Father, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Why talk about the subject of gender identity? Why talk about the subjects when we're talking about the family? Why do we have to deal with a husband and a wife? Why talk about gay and lesbian? Why do we talk about the things that we're going to talk about this evening and kind of a detail that maybe we've never heard before? Well, the reason we should talk about it is because culture is affecting this next generation. And it's hurting our kids. It's a very dangerous, dangerous education that they're giving our young kids. A 2017 study by the Foundation, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and Williams Institute, this is UCLA's really school of law, it's their think tank, showed that more than 6 in 10 trans men and trans women have tried to commit suicide in the year 2016. The prevalence of suicide attempts was highest amongst those that were teenager and younger. We're going to talk about it this evening because now 53% of LGBT adults claim to be religious and or attend church. Acceptance of homosexuality is rising on the broad spectrum of American Christianity, including members of churches that strongly oppose homosexual relationships as sinful. According to the extensive Pew Research Survey, a U.S. religious beliefs and practices, amid a changing religious landscape that you and I are living in, as we are seeing Christianity decline in percentage, the percentage of Americans, listen very carefully, the percentage of Americans who identify as Christian, a majority of U.S. Christians, now 54% in 2020, now say that homosexuality should be accepted rather than discouraged by society. Friend, if you don't comprehend, you better comprehend really fast. The landscape is changing, is tilting. No longer are we a majority as Bible-believing Christians. 54% of those who claim to be Christians now believe that we ought to be more accepting than discouraging homosexuality. Friend, I'm going to move on, and I have to move through this quickly, but I'm going to say this. As long as God gives us breath in our lungs, and as long as we're here on this earth, this Bible will not change. It has not changed. Homosexuality is a sin and it defies Almighty God. And friend, one day, and it may not be very long, care that I might be in prison or in jail one day for preaching those words, but God forbid that we ever stop preaching what thus saith the Lord. Why talk about it? Dr. Brown recently quoted, and I quote, "But what are we to do?" Now listen very carefully. What are we to do when so-called Equality Act is staring us in the face, with the potential of gutting religious freedoms in favor of radical LGBTQ plus goals? Or when a clip, listen very carefully as I've changed the wording here, a clip of Blue's Clues song celebrating Female Reproduction Amputation Month went viral over a weekend in June. Blue's Clues is a kids show, kids cartoons. Or when the description to a recent Matt Walsh broadcast reads, "Today on the Matt Walsh Show, PBS has teamed up with New York City Department of Education to bring drag queens and children together. What are we to do when a Jewish temple in Chicago announces in June a lecture by a rabbi titled, "Is God Really Transgender?" Or when Marvel Comics celebrates the 80th anniversary of Captain America by introducing a brand new superhero, Aaron Fisher, who has now come out to be gay. What do we do when somebody goes from being a married heterosexual woman and mother to identify as a lesbian, then getting into a relationship with another man, with each of them switching genders? What are you and I to do when in one night answering questions about LGBTQ at a conservative Baptist church, a father asked how to maintain a good relationship with an adult son who suddenly came out gay and then is now dressing like a woman? I had a couple ask recently for wisdom in dealing with their 19-year-old granddaughter who came out as a lesbian, announced she's marrying her partner out of a good Baptist church. What are you and I to do when a middle schooler asks what to do when her teachers promote gay activism but will not allow her Christian views to be portrayed in class by even carrying a Bible? Another woman asked recently about whether she should attend a same-sex wedding. What are you and I to do? Just recently, friend, Tim Wilderman of the American Family Association wanted the world to know that Amazon Prime, listen very carefully, a service that you and I use often, refused to carry the important, well-researched, compassionately presented documentary in his image, is the title of it, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. Al Wilderman wrote, and I quote, "I am disgusted at the hypocrisy and callousness Amazon Prime offers to every kind of degrading material imaginable, including hardcore pornography and the entire LGBTQ movie collection, but refuses a fair-minded film that is well-researched, has world-class production values, and whose touchstones are truth and compassion for hurting people. And Amazon allowed no appeal for the matter. The case was closed." Why do we talk about these issues? Because, friend, in my heart of hearts, I believe it is time to get back to the basics. It is time to get back to the Bible. If there was ever a single issue in society so profoundly in our face that many seem to be confused about, it is this: gender identity. Besides the confusion over gender itself, we've confused words such as now tolerance, acceptance, love, and isn't it amazing, even marriage. People in our society, friend, the society that you and I live in, particularly those with an anti-God agenda, have turned God's created design inside out, upside down, and so confused our kids in the process that children who are too young to even know the difference between man and woman means and are wondering now, am I one or am I the other? It was Carrie Schmidt who recently said there is a war for the hearts, minds, and bodies of our children. Today, there are many gay activists who are more than happy to be a dominant influence in the life of every young child, every teenager here at Cross Point Baptist Church. Here in America, we're beginning to discover the results of these sins that are being promoted, applauded, and okay today in our TVs and on our phones and even in many circles that once stood for the very Word of God. Now, let me be very clear tonight. Listen, I don't want to discourage you so much that you walk out of here and our heads are bowed and, man, we're so browbeaten that, man, I just want to encourage you for just a moment. You and I, listen now very carefully, may not be able to reverse the current trajectory of our culture. We may not be able to. In fact, it's most likely we will not be able to. But we are responsible to guide our children and influence our grandchildren to be secure in their God-given identity. You and I as a parent, as a grandparent, great-grandparent, what are we to do today? For those of you who are going to have kids and the Lord's going to bless you, I truly believe, with children, how do you raise them up in this world where it seems like everyone is against us? How are you and I to continue on in a generation that's gone before saying, boy, I feel bad for those who are raising kids? Let me encourage you this evening. God has blessed us with children even in this church. And you and I ought to refuse to cower down or hunker down or put our head in the sand. No, you and I have the very word of God. It is powerful. It is a sword. It is a two-edged sword. And friend, you and I are not to just sit back and hold the fort. No, let's charge the gates of hell because God is still seated on the throne. It's time to get back to the basics. Well, then, Pastor, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we need to look at this evening, the beginning of identity. I apologize, the PowerPoint's out at this time. Maybe it'll come up here in a little bit. Number one, if you want to take notes, the beginning of identity. First of all, we must understand that we are equal in His image. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? I like that word, equal. We hear it a lot. Equal, 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 equal rights, equal this. Okay, but let's talk about it for just a moment. We're equal in His image. When God made Adam and Eve, He both gave the same human nature to both. In verse number 27, look at it with me. Now listen. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. You see, in the New Testament, a reference in James chapter 3 and verse number 9 underscores that mankind is created in the image of God. Listen to it very carefully. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. What does it mean, have you ever thought about it, to be made in the image of God? Well, it means this, that you and I have intellect and will and emotion. You and I are born with a moral sense. We have violation, understanding, and the ability to reason. Ultimately includes the fact that God has given us an eternal soul, and in that eternal soul, you and I have the capability of communicating with God. In every way that I just explained to you, in all of these, from a moral sense, to will, to emotion, to intellect, to violation, to understanding, these ability to reason, in all these ways, men and women, they were created the same. In intellect and spiritual rights and abilities and responsibilities to God, men and women are absolutely equal. As God took on human flesh, Christ's sacrifice is sufficient for both men and women. It's equal. Salvation is the same. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. I love the verse in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. This verse does not mean that there is no distinction between man or woman, but that there, listen now, but that there is no inequality between the man and a woman. Just as in the first century, a slave was equal in Christ as a free citizen would be, so men are equal to women and vice versa. When God created us in His image, you and I were equal. You and I both, understand, we have the ability to accept Jesus Christ that is our personal Savior. Therefore, we are equal in His image. But listen now, this is where many get derailed. We are diverse in our physical design. Equality, of course, is not sameness. Whereas Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27 here in our passage says, male and female created He them. As in English, we also understand that there's a use of two distinct words to distinguish, watch now, two genders, male and female. You just need a little basic biology to know that men and women were created with distinct physical designs that are different from each other. In fact, it goes even further in verse number 28 for the purpose of those differences. Look at it with me. And God blessed them, verse number 28. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What is God's purpose in a word? What's this? Listen up very carefully. Procreation. Procreation. In verses number 27, we have two genders, male and female. That's all that God created. And the reason that He created them, we are told in verse number 28, is for that simple use of the word procreation. Although not every man or woman will marry, not every couple will or is able to even have kids. But we understand that generally speaking, procreation is the natural result. It's God's way of you and I getting married, and then you and I in that marriage union, we are able to then procreate. We have kids. That's what the marriage union is for. Understand this, the marriage union of a male and female, watch now, gay and lesbian unions cannot procreate. It is against God's very design. Jesus affirmed God's design for marriage between one man and one woman in Matthew chapter number 19. Now, if you say, Pastor, you're going too fast, it's going to be online. You can go back and listen to it. But as I told you before, we're going to get to some nitty gritty, but I got to lay some groundwork first. God's design, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 19, is this. And God said, for this cause shall a man leave a father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. In God's design, this distinction between man and woman, it really is, watch now, it really is a very beautiful thing. In fact, in chapter 2 and verse number 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now understand this. It's the beginning of identity. There is a difference between supporting. Now watch very carefully. There is a difference between supporting a little girl that would say, I'm interested in something that would be deemed maybe boyish. There's a difference between supporting a little girl being a tomboy and saying that the girl who feels like a boy should be able to take on the gender of that boy. The first may be healthy. The second is a flat rejection of God's design. This is not for a choice. This is not me taking one of my biologically born female girls, four of them, Lois, London, and Nora, and Rose, and one of them that happens to like, well, let's just maybe say basketball or maybe fishing or hunting. I can go along with that, and that's okay to spend time with Dad. But how foolish in that moment to say, well, I think they're confused about their gender identity, so why don't you girls just go ahead and pick whether you're a boy or a girl? Friend, as foolish as that sounds, comprehend, just north of us in Canada, it's already becoming law that up to sixth grade, the parents now in some of Providences, thank you. In some of the providences, they are very close into making it law that they are able to choose, and the parents can do nothing about it. Christian parents, you and I must hold a biblical understanding of these foundational issues and reinforce them in our children's, God's goodness in specifically creating them the way that He created them. Let me remind you, you and I are perfectly and wonderfully made. We are who we are. God designed us this way. It is foolish to say we know more than God, so therefore I'm going to change either surgically and or I'm going to allow my kids to pick and choose what they want to be. Friend, let me just put it this way. Not only is it silly and foolish, but it really defies what God has taught us from the very beginning, that He created male and He created female and He created marriage for them for the sole purpose of procreation. Now, if you believe that, say amen tonight. Now, don't lose me here. Don't worry about my voice. It's going to make it. Now, let me watch. The moment that we lose sight of this, the moment that you and I become okay with what the world is forcing, especially in the public schools, to our young folks. Friend, we're giving up. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to give up on my family or this generation coming in behind me. Somebody say amen. Amen. Can't give up. The beginning of identity. But number two, I want to look at this evening, the battle for identity. The battle for identity. As you and I, as Christians, as parents, grandparents, and influencers and teachers, as we strive to instill into our children biblical understanding of identity, we must understand that we are going to have to fight for this next generation. I'm going to put it this way. It's going to be a battle. The young people at Cross Point Christian Academy are going to have many influences in their life. Not all of them are going to be godly, and many outside of these walls are going to be telling them that the truths of God's Word, it's narrow-minded, it's archaic. There's many who will be pumping in lots of time. As the more I research this, I don't have time to go into it this evening. We're talking about billions, I didn't say millions, I said billions of dollars that is being spent on algorithms to take a hold of what they're playing and what they're watching and the clickbait that's out there. Our kids, they're after their minds. And there's going to be those that will be encouraging them to explore the possibility that they may be confused in their gender identity. So what do you and I do against these attacks? Well, we're going to, first of all, avoid ungodly influence. Now listen very carefully. For every adult in here, for every teenager in here, avoid ungodly influence. Scripture specifically commands for us to avoid ungodly influences in our life. In fact, Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So watch now. What are the sources of influence that in this day and age that is trying by the billions to affect our kids' life? Now watch. All the kids, look up here. Look, don't lose me. Now watch. First of all, one of the main influences is the very internet. It's the devices that we have in our pocket. The iPad, the cell phone, the computer. YouTube stars like JoJo Siwa and many others who have recently come out are damaging and influencing our children by the millions. And we're okay with it because it's colorful and it's big bows and it's all right. And, well, they have 100,000 followers and they're okay. And, well, they don't cuss a lot. But comprehend, Satan knows what he is doing. There is absolutely an absolute wave of influencers. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, influencers today would be those that would be considered, whether it be on Instagram or Facebook and or YouTube or TikTok or all the other ones that may still be out there that not a lot of people, Snapchat and others, that not a lot of people use anymore. But influencers are those that would have a lot of followers. Carrie, you can probably help me out on this a little bit more, but it does include all of those, an influencer. Is that correct? So, and all those social media platforms, an influencer would be someone that would have a lot of influence on our kids' life. And here's how it works. It's because they have a lot of followers. Now, for me, I don't even know how many followers I have on Facebook. But let's just say this. Let's just say if I have 3,000 followers on Facebook, these influencers will have 1, 2, 3 million followers. And they have everyone that is watching their stuff daily and at every moment, everything they click, everything they do during the day. And what is taking place is that these hashtags are very subtle, but the hashtag, and if you're old enough to say, I have no idea what the hashtag is, that's okay. Just pretend like you do for a moment. I don't have a whole lot of time to explain a hashtag to you. But what the hashtag and the influencers are doing today is they'll put subtly hashtag in, especially the influencers that will put 25 plus hashtags, and this clickbait is easy enough that no matter what type of filters you have in your home, our children can easily access these hashtags that in a big way are a roundabout way to get around screenings from parents and around, oh, well, we don't let our kids watch this or do this, but what they're doing is their whole goal is to try to infiltrate slowly the young mind of America. And friend, I don't know how else to put it but this. You and I cannot be ignorant or naive at what our children are looking at. Okay. If I hand, did I give you my cell phone? I thought I had it on me. I did. Here, give me yours. So, that's pink, so you have to forgive me. Not the greatest cell phone to use on a night like this, but nonetheless, if done. Okay, so if I this is my cell phone, comprehend, oftentimes I will give my cell phone to one of my girls. And so here's Lois, and Lois, stand up here now, give it to her. And if I act like, well, here's the phone and just use it, and I'm over here and I have no idea what she's doing or what she's looking at, to be honest with you, that's really bad parenting. It's bad parenting. Now, I comprehend fully, we cannot live in a box. And maybe you do, and this is not my way versus your way, but working with college students, I will say this, working with college students for 3 years, there were oftentimes those kids that were never allowed out of their house, they never had a TV, they never had the internet, they never had a phone, and I'm just telling you, Carrie, is this not God's truth? We had to disciple and help and mentor and counsel, I want to say dozens upon dozens of those kids that would come, and then now that they had their freedom, they went absolutely wild. There has to be a balance in the home. We can't just, I said it 2 weeks ago, we're not Amish. We can't just go up in a hill and live. No, God commissioned us to go into all the world and reach it. There has to be a balance. So therefore, whatever you do with your kids is fine. And I constantly care. We not. We're constantly asking folks like the Coates and others who have raised kids, what did you do? And how did you do this? And what do you think about this? And if a parent's honest, they'll tell us. Gary and Vicki Ryder, we ask them questions. They'll tell us, here's where we made mistakes. And here's what we did good. Here's what we did wrong. And here's where this kid went awry. And this kid did this. And nonetheless, it's always learning. But there has to be that balance of, okay, I let her have it. Now, comprehend, if I don't know what she is doing, if I don't understand YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, the game she's playing, the best thing to do is to either as a parent learn or don't give it to them. It's easiest. For us to live in this hole that we can trust our kids, friend, we are humans. How dare I think that they are old enough to comprehend? Friend, if you and I are not going to influence our children, let's just be super brutally honest. There are plenty of influencers out there that wants to take my young child and confuse her identity and help her to understand that you don't have to listen to your parents and the Bible's archaic and your dad's old fashioned and you don't have to listen to them. And if you don't like it, you just come over in our world because we're accepting and we're love and we're grace and we'll accept you for any type of sin you want to live in. Let me tell you something. You say, oh, they're not really, not at 9 years old. Friend, younger than this, mark it down. If we didn't have kids, thank you, Kara. Thanks, Lo. If we have kids here tonight, we might just have to have a parent meeting here real soon. Because, friend, the details that I could go into could get R-rated really fast. I'm talking about the kids' games at this age that they are pumping into. I told you at the beginning of this series, and I'll say it real fast. My kids had little games. And all of a sudden, in these little free games, free, every parent out there knows that there's in-app purchases that you can get that we all find out about later. But nonetheless, these games are free, and they get on there, and the advertisement in these little kids' games, I'm talking about like this dude that's running down a maze called Maze Runner, and he's got to go this way, and he's got to go this way, and you collect coins. DJ, you know what I'm talking about? Back and forth, and we play it. In those little kids' games, the advertisement that comes up, and some of you are shaking your head, you know, the advertisement that comes up as cartoons would often have male and male or female with female that is absolutely godless and disgusting. And I told you, and it's proven now, they don't even try to hide it, that Carrie and I would say, what are you talking about? Take the phone, and it was a totally different advertisement. The camera, when you hit accept, you are accepting to all what they want. And at times in some of these games, they will watch as a little kid is playing. And when that little kid goes to show a parent, that game will change the advertisement. You tell me we're not in a battle. We're in a battle, friend. First of all, we see the internet and the hashtags. And for parents, the only thing I can say is this. Be careful. Walk not with the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand with sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You say, well, in the way that the shepherds grew up, this was just never gone. But in the day and age we live, it's kind of like, well, it's their phone, and it's their time, and it's their room, and it's their... Excuse me, friend. What are we raising? Well, I don't want to get into their personal space. Friend, you pay their electricity. Woman, you carried them for 9 months. God gave them in the care of you. It is time that you and I stop this foolishness. Well, they're 14 and they're coming into their own. Let me tell you something, friend. Their own ought not to be what Satan wants them to be, but it ought to be what God has designed them to be. It's the internet, but also TV. Parents who would never take their kids to a social event where gender confusion is actively promoted may be allowing it to play almost nonstop in their living room via the television set. Did a little research. This is what I had to get off the printer just a couple moments ago. I kind of wanted to get into the mind of the last several weeks of the opposition that you and I are facing. For some of you, this is probably, Matt, Susan, y'all raising young kids, this might be old news to you, but for some, I think your mind might be blown just a little bit. What's the opposition that we're facing today? Well, this is written by Jamie Kinney in June 4th of 2021, so just about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Here's what she said, 20 amazing shows, amazing, get that, with LGBTQ+ characters to watch with your kids. Now let's switch it here. Here's what we're doing. I'm not giving you 20 shows to watch out for. Here's what the gay and lesbian groups are saying. Hey, parents, here's what you need to watch with your kids. And I quote, let's face it, finding LGBTQ+ representation on TV in general can be hard to find. And if you're looking for family-friendly entertainment with queer representation that can feel like more of a mission, the good news is this. There's actually many shows out there, no pun intended, to stream with your kids. And we've gathered them all in one place. Here, let's indoctrinate your kids. And we don't want them to feel strange about it. So here's some shows that you can watch that's friendly and will introduce them to characters. Listen now. While many shows, and I quote, while many shows put queer characters and storylines front and center, others are a little quieter about it. In many cases, LGBTQ+ representation comes as side characters or gender identity is simply hinted at or only revealed towards the very end of the series. Why, that's often the case and certainly a subject for discussion or even debate. But at least at some level, we're going to call any representation a win. Here's what they're saying. Represent us. Even if it's little, this is a win for them. Why? It's just sneaky. It's just little. Well, you and I are going to say, oh, my goodness, that's the main characters are male to male or female to female. Kids, you're not watching that. But here's what they'll do. They'll sneak it in. It's a little win for us. Watch now. But at least some level, we're going to representation to continue to hope and more LGBTQ main characters. But what better time than Pride Month to catch up on some wholesome LGBTQ+ shows? Number one, hard to believe, but Arthur. Many of you know Arthur the show. Arthur's been on care since we, and I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. You remember the show back in the day? Arthur has been a cornerstone of PBS since 1996. But in 2019, the show featured its first gay character at his wedding. Mr. Ratburn and some special. Now watch, and someone special. The first episode of season 22 featured Arthur and his class trying to figure out exactly who their teacher is getting married to, only to discover that someone special was another man. Arthur, understand this. How about this? Madagascar, A Little Wild. Madagascar, A Little Wild kicked off its third season as a new character. This is found on Hulu. A new character, Odie Elliott. Odie doesn't know what kind of animal they are exactly, except for a party animal. But that doesn't bother them. They just want to have fun in the Animal Pride Parade. The episode, Whatever Floats Your Boat, is a great metaphor for young viewers about being happy with and proud of who you are and encouraging your friend to do the same. The theme song was Be Proud, really drives the message home. Understand, this is coming from a lesbian. Sit down, parents. Here's what we want you to watch with your kids. How about this? Many of you know this cartoon, Chip and Potato. This is found on Netflix. Chip is an adorable pug, and she's learning lots of new things, the ins and outs of kindergarten, getting a new sibling, and all kinds of similar small but important adventures. So sometimes needs confidence boosts from a friend, a mouse named Potato, who secretly lives in her pocket. In the show season, the Roy and the Ray Razzle move into a neighborhood with their twin babies, Ron and Ruby. main characters they are not, but we love to see LGBTQ plus families. And honestly, we didn't realize how much we were missing gay zebras until now. Comprehend this evening. Shows that we used to think were Arthur, Madagascar, wholesome. Now they have to sneak it in. Rugrats. Look what they did to know down deep the unabashedly feminist, boisterous Betty DeVille, a.k.a. Phil and Lil's mom, on Rugrats was a lesbian. Probably. But the Rugrats reboot has confirmed by rewriting the character as a lesbian single mom. Rugrats. Comprehend this evening, as you look at this list, I could go on. Doc McStuffins, The Loud House, Steven Universe, She-Ra and the Princess Power, Too Loud, how about Legend of Korra? Every one of these, subtle. How about The Bravest Little Knight, found on Hulu, 12 Forever, found on Netflix, not including Disney Plus, that I could go on and name show after show after show. Especially in the month of June, many of you parents, we talked about it, many of you parents got together and we noticed, my goodness, what a change in Disney. What are they doing? They're trying to influence our kids. And God forbid we let them. You and I must avoid ungodly influence. Have influence in your kids' life. Why are we going to do this? Well, we're going to follow biblical counsel. As important it is to be alert and vigilant to ungodly influences, it's just as important to allow your children access to godly influences who will point them toward biblical truths. In a day when all it takes to be a hero in a kid's life is amassing TikTok followers or playing a good sports game, it is vital that Christian parents point their children to truly faithful men and women of God. It is God's design that you and I teach the next generation coming up. That's why the Bible says this, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Understand, we've got to follow biblical counsel. If there was ever a day and age when you and I ought to comprehend that in this next generation coming up, we're not fighting for white shirts in the pulpit. We're not fighting ties. We're not fighting whether men or women are, or excuse me, whether men should, or forget it. We're not fighting over pews or the color on the walls. You comprehend? Listen now. What we are fighting is this. They are after our kids. They want to confuse their genders. They want to confuse their marriage. They want to confuse love. They want to confound them. But friend, what they want to confound, what they want to make hard, God has already made it easy. See, Pastor, what do we do? Have your kids around godly influences. Now I'm going to say this as kindly as I can, but I think we need to hear it tonight. Be careful about putting down godly influences in your kid's life. Let me say it again. Be careful about putting down godly influences in your kid's life. Be careful. I said it last week, and Miss Sharp, you were over here. No, you were over here. Mrs. Sharp, are you here? Miss Sharp is our fourth grade teacher. Do you mind staying and kind of use you for just a second? Mrs. Sharp is back here. She teaches our fourth grade. And y'all don't have to turn your necks. Let me just come back here. So just listen to me for a moment. But Mrs. Sharp is here, and she teaches my daughter Lois in our school here at Cross Point Christian Academy. Now, understand this, that Miss Sharp is a godly influence in my kid's life. You say, well, I don't know. I know Miss Sharp, and one time she didn't give my kid bubblegum. Okay, now listen. We're not here to discuss what happened in 1996. That's between you and whatever. But understand, Mrs. Sharp has influence on my kid's life. Now, let me point this out. Miss Sharp, you have never claimed to be perfect. Is that right? And you're not. But she's an influence on my kid's life. She may at some point not treat my daughter the way that I think she ought to treat my daughter. But I'm telling you right now, it hurts the cause of Christ. If I were to take, Lois, run back here, hurry, Ben. If I were to take my daughter who is in her class, now listen, here's Lois again. If I were to take my daughter and to run down the godly influence that is in Lois's life. Talk through, discuss, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, Ms. Sharp, I mean, should she have gotten a C? I think it was a B. Let me go back and check. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm so sorry. You know, Pastor, I missed this. Or, no, Pastor, here's the test. Here's what she missed. And here's what I'm saying tonight. There are influences in my kid's life that you may not know. Mrs. Sharp is one of them. We can name many others. And Brother Sharp, who teaches, or not teaches, well, you are teaching, but Tommy's a soccer coach. And you, stand up, Brother Sharp, you are an influence on my son's life. Now, look, I know that Tommy came back, and he actually really loves you as a coach. But I'm just saying this, but Tommy, the first time, remember, Carrie? Where is Tommy? Did he leave? He got offended. Okay. Tommy came back and Coach, he was like, you made him run, I don't know, suicides or whatever they call him, but he was so tired and this. Look, here's what I said. It could have been, yeah, I'm telling you, just because Brother Sharp's in shape thinks you kids ought to be in shape. Doesn't he know you're 11 years old? Good grief. So next time he does that, just say, Brother Sharp, forget you, man. No. I mean, you know what I said? Honestly, I said, good. He's getting you ready for the game. You know, he's getting you ready for real life. Ah, Miss Sharp didn't treat me fair, Miss Sharp. Miss Sharp, to be honest with you, we're always going to support you. But you're a godly influence in my daughter's life. And I'm an influence on your kid's life. And Pastor Blake and Mrs. Charlotte, stand up. Our youth pastors here at the church, those of you who are visiting here tonight, they are influencing our kid's life. Are they perfect? No, they're not. But it hurts the cause of Christ to jump in a car and to run down the man of God and his wife who has devoted and hazarded their life. Listen, they're not in it for the money. They're in it for your kids. You see where I'm getting tonight? Yes, thank y'all so much. Thank you, Lois. Yes, absolutely. Do we avoid ungodly influences? But friend, we have influences. Brother Hildebrand, Brother Jim, you know this. Jim and Miss Titus, our kids run to give them hugs. There are influences all over this church. That friend, let me put it this way. What we're fighting is not the nuances of, oh, Miss Laura, I don't like your glasses, and bless God, you must not be right with God. You understand? The battles that we're facing are so much bigger than that. It's the battle for our kids' minds. It's the battle for their soul. It's the battle for who they're going to be in the future. And for us to sit back and, well, yeah, this is not a big deal. All right, Pastor, what are you saying? We get rid of Netflix and Hulu and Prime, and we're all supposed to watch Disney Plus. No, here's what I'm telling us this evening, is that you and I ought to be made aware. We ought to be made aware that Nike and Google and Amazon Prime and Nickelodeon, Disney, they're after our kids. Get them around. Every teenager ought to be at this activity. I don't know if it's called the Harvest Activity or something like that. September 11th, every kid ought to be there. Why? Well, I don't know. They don't want to be there. What are they going to why? They're going to sit in a room. They're just going to do this. This is an iPad, by the way. They're just going to sit here and they're just going to do this. Why not get them in the Word of God? Why not get them around other teenagers? I get it. The teenagers aren't perfect. But I'm going to tell you, they're in church and they're trying and they got parents that are doing their best. Come on. We have got to battle for our kids. It's a war. We see the beginning, the battle. Now watch this, we'll be done this evening. But there's also the basics of identity. There are many factors that can play a part in shaping a child's sense of identity. What I'd like to point out are several ways to present God and their identity in the home. They're very simple, but I believe they're good guidance for us this evening. There might be some discussions that come out from this conversation tonight. Now, whoa. Hold on. Don't lose me here. Whew, I got to sit down here for just a second. Don't lose me here. But watch. Got dizzy. I'm so sorry. Give me one second. What I'm saying this evening is that if conversations come up with our kids, as uncomfortable as it may be, as uncomfortable as it may be, if we don't discuss these topics with our kids, someone else is. Somebody else is. You and I have got to be the ones that put the time and the effort into these kids. But Brian, I'm going to have something cold to drink. I do apologize, y'all. I think I preach hard this morning and tonight, and my lungs are not, yes, Carrie, thank you. My lungs are not exactly 100%, and Satan's fighting a little bit here. My lungs are hurting me just a little bit, so good old aspartame and Diet Coke, amen? Oh, that's good, that's good. You can cancel that, Brian. This is the good stuff right here. Nectar from heaven. Yes. Amen. I feel better. Talk with our kids. Talk with them. How are we going to get back to the basics of identity? Well, first of all, there has to be time with parents. You and I are the most influential role model your children have of gender distinction. Give them enough time to see you and what it means to be a man or a woman in the daily routines of life. Now, comprehend this. I said at the beginning of this whole series that the world we live in, there's many that are being raised by grandkids. There are many that are being raised in a single-parent home. And if you're a single parent, you can still give your child this time and these gifts through having a godly perspective on relationships and marriage. God instructs parents to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of God. It's you and I taking on the role and or the responsibility to teach our kids what is right. It's going to be at time, but also it is, watch very carefully, balanced activities. We get a brief glimpse at Christ. We don't have really anything about his teenage years or his upbringing. We kind of see him in the temple there at a young age, but then that's about it. And up until, he heads into his ministry. But the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There has to be balanced activities. One of the keys to avoid, now listen very carefully, one of the keys to avoid stereotyping gender roles is to encourage your kids in balanced activities. Now listen, here's what we're going to do. As Baptists, bless God, we got to get down, we got to go home, we got to get rid of TV, nobody, give me all your phones, devices, everybody just get in a box. So don't even turn on the air conditioner, Satan might talk through the vents. No. Now watch. So let's not panic here, okay? Let's not panic. But we do have to have some balance. That means this. If you have a son that loves maybe culinary skills or perhaps art, encourage that. Now listen, and be interested and involved in that development. But at the same time, teach that young man to be a hard worker. Work on projects together and teach him to balance activities. Teach him by example. Masculinity is not just the activity a man does. It's who he is and expressed in how he conducts himself performing those activities. If you have a daughter who enjoys hunting, as I said earlier, perhaps even sports, and for those coaches here, my daughter is constantly out there, can we have soccer? I know we have too many sports already, but if your kid loves soccer or basketball or hunting, listen, don't label those as masculine tendencies and assume that they're struggling with their gender identity. Instead, help her enjoy her interests while at the same time helping her develop a feminine demeanor. Now, I'm not here to... This is not a harp on anyone, but I am telling you this, that without knowing it, if we're not careful, the world will impact our kids, and we will lose sight of it. I don't know about you, but spending a lot of time with young people, you will begin to see some tendencies towards with a young man being feminine, or with a young girl and that masculinity that begins to come out. Friend, if you and I are careful, maybe they're very solid in who they are as a young man or a young woman, but that influence will come in, and we've already seen it in so many different ways that the world wants to take the male and the female and so blend them that now we don't even want to use pronouns. It's just, don't call me by a male or a female. Or any of those pronouns that you would use to call them. No, we got to get away from that. And listen, even in a Christian realm, our men ought to, young men ought to be known as being young men. That's not, bless God, put a gun in his hand and put him in the old foxhole and give him a shovel and dig a hole and then go over and fill it back up and dig it again. Okay, look, you do whatever you want to with your kids, but what I'm getting at this evening is even as Christians, now listen, families, we've got to be careful that we don't have a young man that is so influenced by the world that they are pushed to really see this feminine side. And it's a lispy talk, and it's a very feminine type of mannerisms that begin to come out. Again, they may be saved, and they may be Christian, and maybe a good, wonderful young man. But if we're not careful, we will so let the influences of the world affect them that we don't even see it. There is a difference between male and female. If you believe that, say amen. That's God's design. It's not saying, well, this little girl's a tomboy, as I said at the beginning of the message. So they're really, they're 5 years old. They're really struggling with their gender. They don't even know what a gender is, friend. They just have some tendencies. They like to climb trees, like to throw rocks, they like to hang out with the dudes. All right, that's great. But moms, get in there and show them that there's a design for their life. And friend, it wasn't designed by the Discovery Channel. And it wasn't it was not designed by National Geographic or the Disney Channel. It happened to be designed by God Almighty. And whatever God designs, it's perfect. It works. It's incredible. It's not putting down a female. It's not putting down a male. It's the way that God has designed it. That influence that we see. It's time with parents. It's some balanced activities. But I want to say this, and I'm almost done tonight. I know I'm going long, and I apologize, but I had to get all of this in. But we also have to have them around the right friends and associations. 1 Corinthians says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to you, your shame. These verses teach why it's so important to know your children's friends well. Know their interest. Check their Facebook profile. Check out the hashtags they've been on. Don't let them just scroll through a TikTok stream or jump on YouTube for hours. Get in and look at their friends, their associations. Begin to invest in them. The world is influencing our kids, and we may not even be aware of it. But let me put it this way. For every teenager that is 18 years of age and or younger, would you please stand up just for a moment? If you're 18 years of age or younger, go ahead, stand up. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed at all. Just stand. Go ahead. All my kids are standing. By the way, Tommy went out to get allergy medicine for all those of you who are wondering. Is that correct? Yeah, he was bothering before he got in here. Now, this evening, for all of you, those of you who are standing, I want to talk to you for just a moment. Now watch. You're the next generation. You are the next generation. Everything that I have preached this evening is because we love you. And we want you to succeed. But let me be very frank with you this evening, young people. Satan hates you. He hates you. And he wants to destroy your mind. Girls, look up here. Boys, look up here for just a moment. He's after your mind. He wants what you look at and what you watch to be disgusting and vile and wicked. But God also wants the opposite for your life. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. Every parent, every teacher, every youth pastor, every deacon, every adult in here We want to see you do great things for the Lord. Am I right? Amen. We want to see you do something great. I mean this, and Carrie knows this. I truly believe, Rose, look right here. I truly believe, Nora, London, Miguel, Luke, Clay, you're not standing. Are you 19? You're 20. I'm 20. I'm the next generation. I really mean this when I say it. I believe you're going to turn this world upside down. I think you're going to do great things for the Lord. But I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be easy. The world that you're about to head into, it's mean. It's confusing. It's very vile and wicked. But you're in church tonight. What you've heard is not for your parents only. It's for you. You might not have a parent that has any type of safeguards on what you watch or what you do. Do you know you can make that decision all by yourself? The friend that you need to drop, drop it. The YouTube channel you keep getting on and erasing the history, stop. The TikTok followers or Instagram followers that you have, and you know in that search bar it's wicked, get rid of it, stay away from it, delete the app, bust your phone. Get rid of it, parents, I'm sorry. But would you rather than bust their phone or keep looking at that trash? Am I right? Get rid of it. If they cuss and they take the Lord's name in vain, turn it off. They're after you, kids. Young men in this room, young men, Cole, all the way around this room, Gavin, all the way back here in the back. Let me just tell you, man, DJ, let me just tell you, be men, men of God who hold the banner of Jesus Christ high. Luke, Miguel, we need you in this fight. We need you. You have to comprehend. Denny, stand up for just a moment. Comprehend. The battle that Denny faced and the battles of the groovy years and the dinosaurs that they fought, and it's over. It's over. But friend, comprehend this. The battles that you face, it's getting worse and worse. And it's going to be hard and tough. You can do it. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It's time that we at Crosspoint got back to the basics. Gender identity doesn't have to be confusing. God laid it out for us. Tough discussion? Sure. But we have to have it. And it's time we take a stand.